this Veterans Day, we continue a tradition that dates from the end of the Great War that began the 20th century, World War I. Nearly a century in the past, the war to end all wars, it was called. It simply preceded the greater ones to follow. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the many wars in Iraq, India and Pakistan, regional conflicts in Africa. We want to think today about the veterans who have served in America's wars by thinking about a moment in time. Each day, soldiers in combat around the world live with two thoughts. I must survive, and I must assure my loved ones that I'm safe. A phone call, a letter, an email home, each one captures a moment of safety and hope. Here's one from March 29, 2003. At the very beginning of the Iraq War, the headline we all saw was something from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld on that day warning Syria to stop weapons from being transported into Iraq. But first, Marine Lieutenant Michael Scotty had been in Iraq for a few weeks. He sent home this letter.
March 29th, 2003. Dear Mom, Pop, Dave, and Dan, today is the first day of outgoing mail since the war has begun. I just want to let you know that I'm still alive and in one piece. My battalion has been heavily engaged for the last 5 days. We have fought 4 intense battles and have done well. There have been a few close calls, but we are fine. I have seen things that are almost hard to believe. The great warrior Geronimo once said, "In war, bad things happen." This is definitely the truth. On one particular afternoon, outside of some insignificant town, things got particularly hairy. 3 rockets were shot at my vehicle, the command vehicle. But luckily, the Iraqis aren't very good shots. We could hear rounds pinging off the sides. Our perimeter was taking fire from 3 sides, and we were not really set up in the defense yet. We had just halted our convoy for a few minutes when the Saddam Fedayeen attacked from the north, south, and west. I jumped on the radio and started calling in a wall of steel rain on the men that were trying so hard to kill us. The next morning we attacked the town that was housing the Fedayeen. We won. So far, I have fought in the Battle of Anazaria, Al-Garaf, Al-Shatra, and another engagement in the mud on the side of the road. I now truly know what it is like to literally be fighting for your life. And because I'm responsible for all of the artillery in the entire battalion, I did not sleep for almost 90 hours. But I never made one mistake or transposed, switched, or reversed one number. The reason is adrenaline. It helps you think clearly. None of us ate or slept for the entire 4 days, and combat is a feeling of constantly being unsafe. You know when a fight is about to break out, and you can sense it. War smells like a putrid mix of death, burning flesh, burning tires, and gunpowder. It tastes like chewing tin foil. There's an empty feeling that bad things may be in your immediate future, especially when you see what 25mm cannon or other instruments of war do to the human body. And I promise not to be a complete animal when I get back. I have seen the horrors of war and accepted them for what they are. And one day, this will all be done, and the 5 of us will be drinking wine together and eating veal and tiramisu. I look forward to that every day. Tell everyone I said hello. Much love, Michael T.
Michael Scotty is a former first lieutenant, a veteran now. Here's a letter from March 16, 2006. Iraq was unraveling. Scandals and mistakes dominated the news. The war in Afghanistan was called forgotten by service members and families alike. But March 16th was just a week after an attack by the Taliban on platoon leader Billy Mariani's unit. An RPG flew into the window of a Humvee and lodged into the right thigh of his fellow soldier, Private Channing Moss. Mariani reads the letter, his first chance to tell the folks back home about an attack they would never hear about any other way.
Kevin, the RPG wasn't in his leg, but penetrated his abdomen and was beginning to exit his thigh. You could see the bulge because it hadn't broken skin. At first, I had no clue that Moss had an RPG embedded in him. The report I received over the radio was that he had an abdominal wound. It was like an old war movie cliche. As I was receiving the transmission, I could hear Moss screaming and raising hell in the background. It wasn't until everything was said and done in regards to the fight that I actually saw Moss. I made it up to the vehicle as Doc was pulling him out. That's when I saw the tail end of the RPG sticking out of him. I was aware of the fact that he most likely had live ordnance stuck in him, but it really didn't faze me. By this time, Moss was pretty dosed and almost serene. I grabbed his hand and said something to the effect of, "Hang in there, buddy. We're going to get you out of here." I then ran off to make sure our security was straight and to coordinate for the medevac. Once I got the word that the bird was on the way, I headed over to check on him again. Sergeant Jarrell was there with Moss, holding him and talking to him about basketball and football or something. As soon as I walked up, Moss stopped Sergeant Jarrell and asked him to just hold him. That hit me pretty hard. I pulled Doc aside and asked him what he thought of Moss's prospects, and Doc just shook his head. At that point, I was faced with the possibility that I was going to lose one of my soldiers. All I could do was just make him as comfortable as possible until the medevac came in. You wouldn't believe the relief I felt once I heard Moss made it through his first surgery and was stable. It was a pretty difficult situation for me. I almost broke down. I can't even remember the last time I cried, but I was pretty damn close to it at that point. I mean, it's one thing to see bad guys blown to pieces. A dead body is a dead body, and once you see one, you've kind of seen them all. That and the fact that the guy was just trying to kill you kind of makes you numb to the whole thing. It's a totally different story when it's one of your own. Seeing a grown man ask another to just hold me blows away any toughness you think you might have. Thank God Moss is recovering, but I honestly thought he wasn't going to make it. I always say that you can have all the medals and whatnot. They eventually fade. My biggest concern is getting all my boys and myself home alive and with all our parts.
Billy Mariani, formerly with the 287th Infantry 10th Mountain Division in Afghanistan, a veteran today. Here's a letter from January 4th, 2005, from a week of American casualties in Afghanistan. Staff Sergeant Joe Sturm wrote this to raise the spirits of a good pal, another year away from home.
Casey, Happy New Year, boy. This is just a quick note to say hello, and I hope you're well. This isn't like the Gulf War at all. Back then, I usually got mail delivered months after it was mailed, and usually while I was sitting in a foxhole or pulling a guard shift or under a poncho smoking a cigarette in a sandstorm. Conditions here are decent, all things considered. The food's tolerable, and they put us up in permanent structures, and they get cold when it's cold and hot when it's hot, but at least it's a roof and a rack to lay on. So it's been snowing here pretty good for a couple weeks now. Ghazni is situated at around 7,300 feet, and it's been cold as blue blazes. We have a couple feet of snow on the ground, and they've scaled back operations somewhat as a result. Every time we send a squad out, inevitably get a vehicle stuck in a snowdrift or wrecked, which requires committing additional resources to go out and get them, which seems like we're asking for trouble. It's got potential to turn out like a sniper luring an entire squad out one man at a time until he's shot everyone. Right before Christmas, we kicked out a week-long op in a new area. I think our second platoon had been there before the elections, but it's apparently going to become a permanent part of our patrol footprint once the weather breaks. Anyway, of course it was already cold before the snow even started, and it was horrifying to go into some of these villages and see kids running around on the frozen ground with no shoes or coats. I like going out on patrols with more of a humanitarian bent to them because we generally have civil affairs support with access to that kind of gear for distribution. The kids don't really seem to notice, and maybe that should ease my concern, but it doesn't. I told you when I first got here that it's impossible for me to reconcile the natural beauty of Afghanistan with the absolute tragedy of life here. I'm just glad we're able to accomplish some small things that seem to make a difference, at least to the extent that anything we're doing here is making a difference. All in all, things continue to go well, at least operationally. I have a great section. We all go above and beyond to keep each other smart and safe. The battalion hasn't had any casualties since August, which is a miracle. But then again, who would want to get themselves in a scrape in this kind of weather, friend or foe? I think you'd like my squad leader, JT. He and I have been watching the tsunami together on the BBC. We're like an old married couple at this point. We don't even have to speak anymore to accomplish more than an entire squad of 11 Bravos.
Sergeant Joe Sturm, formerly with Company A, 3rd Battalion, 116th Infantry, 29th Division, deployed out of the Virginia Army National Guard. Today, he's a veteran. Here's one from October 2005. Rahman Baca's story comes from Iraq, where he served as a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps from 2005 to 2006. He was based in the bloody battle zone of Fallujah. This letter he sent to his wife, Lisa.
Lisa, long time on post last night. I lost my good pen. I thought about you all night again. I tried not to because it makes me sad being away from you. So I started thinking that I might try and choreograph a ballet when I get back. I started writing down ideas today. I think I'll write down everything I think of about it and try and find a way to put it together when I get back. A full three-act ballet. It's hard being out here, the things we see. Makes me think that with such an advanced society, why war is necessary anymore. It's a lot to go through just to figure out what's important in this world. And most of these guys are just kids, in the heads and in the heart, carrying around M16s like gunslingers, thinking of girls back home and school and money. Do they think about the boys they asked to do this, who they are, where they come from? I don't know. I really love you, and I can't wait to get back home to you. Roman.
Roman Baca, U.S. Marine sergeant, served in Fallujah, Iraq as a fire team leader and machine gunner from 2005-2006. He's a veteran today.